I want to make sure that we leave no one behind within the Axial region. I want to make sure that we do a darn good job to make sure that everyone has a career pathway. That's a successful measure for us. How many people are we getting into great career pathways of their choice?
That was Andre Wallace, president of JAXX USA Partnership. Andre is our guest for episode 12 of Innovate JAXX, the podcast where we hear the stories of the creators, innovators, and entrepreneurs who will help elevate Jacksonville as a leading southeastern city of innovation. I'm your host, Kate Warnock. Now, on to the interview. Andre, thank you so much for joining us here for the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
We're thrilled to have you. So let's start by learning more about the JAXX USA partnership. What is the primary focus of your organization?
Our mission is to be a catalyst for economic development and growth and to maximize the region's unique resources to aggressively recruit jobs and bring capital investment to the region itself.
So, Andre, why is it that we need to have something like JAXX USA partnership?
1,000 people move into the state of Florida every day. 85 of those 1,000 people move into Northeast Florida. Someone has to be looking out for the interest of individuals moving into our region and finding them meaningful, gainful employment opportunities. That's how your city continues to grow. It's also good for the economy itself. It's also good for the ecosystem to make sure that we have people into gainful, meaningful career pathways. So that's why it's important for JAXX USA to do what it does for the entire region of Northeast Florida.
Great. So, you know, Andre, I've seen your name in the news for quite some time. I was wondering, since joining JAXX USA Partnership as president, what are some of the big deals that you've brokered for the city?
Sure. Some of the deals that worked on first coming on was Wayfair. Wayfair has now brought in 1,000 jobs. Also, Ulta Beauty, another 150 jobs. Those are on the manufacturing side. On the fintech side, just last year, we brought in over 1,100 jobs into the actual region itself. Well over $160 million worth of capital investment in those in the manufacturing as well as the fintech sectors itself. So we've done very, very good in my first 18 months on the job.
Not so bad. Yeah, that's fantastic. Are there specific industries? So you just mentioned, you know, manufacturing and fintech. What are the industries that you're pursuing on behalf of Jacksonville, and what makes them a good fit for our city?
So we pursue advanced manufacturing. We pursue advanced transportation logistics, financial services, innovation IT, as well as health and biomedical. We're very well positioned in all of those as a region for all those particular sectors, particularly biomedical, healthcare. You've got some of the best healthcare facilities here in the United States, right here in your region. But fintech is very well emerging for us as a region. Little people know that FIS, Payment Servicing, just acquired Worldpay this past summer in 2019 for $43 billion. That's the largest financial services transaction done to history. So now we have FIS located here with over 55,000 employees globally, 5,200 in the United States, and we'll be 1,800 here in Jacksonville itself. That is huge, significant for us, and they are a Fortune 500 company.
So is it the talent that makes them a right fit for the city, or, you know, the fact that we've had those industries present, you know, in Jacksonville? Again, why pursue those specific sectors?
One, talent is definitely there. Two, it is from a operation standpoint. It's very good to do business here in Jacksonville. We're very business friendly from that standpoint. So we make it easy for the companies to come in. It's an open door policy. We work with them. We don't just recruit them and get them here and just leave them alone. We basically work with them to talk about what's your expansion opportunities that you're looking at. Let us help you. Let us help you find the talent. Let us find the right incentives to help you with your project. Number one, we want to get them here and we want to keep them here.
And I know, looking at your background, you've lived in a number of big metropolitan areas. You've been in Miami-Dade, you worked in Raleigh and Detroit. You know, in saying that we're a business-friendly city, by comparison to those other hubs, what is it that we do better that makes us more competitive to pull in those big new industries?
We all work together. You know, when you look at other cities that I've worked in, I would say that from our governmental structure, we're city-county consolidated government. I only have one mayor, one city council that I have to deal with in order to have a conversation about a particular company coming in. Two, from the civic community standpoint, while you know you're going to be competitive with others, The others are very willing to work with you to make sure that you feel comfortable coming into the actual community. You don't always get that in other particular communities. And so from the decision-making standpoint, people are very welcome from that standpoint. So the CEOs really like the environment that we have here in Jacksonville.
You know, Andre, it's a theme that's been running across your 12th episode for Innovate Jax, and it's something we've heard consistently from our other guests, is that this is an environment that is unlike others. You know, it's not just our talent pool. It really is that willingness for people who are here and established to bring those newcomers along and really help them, you know, meet those big goals and big dreams that they might have. So do you find that to be, you know, has that played out in your own life here, you know, moving into Jacksonville? Have you found it to be warm and welcoming, I hope?
Absolutely. I've been here a little over 6 years, and I would have to say that in the six-year time, you know, I've really enjoyed living here in Jacksonville, and my wife and I don't plan to go anywhere else. You know, so she's been very adamant. This is home for us. She's 8 hours away from her parents in New Orleans. I'm 3 hours away from my mother in Georgia. It's centrally located for us, and professionally, this works very well for us.
That's great. Good to hear. Another thing that we've heard is both maybe a challenge and an opportunity is Jacksonville doesn't yet have a single identity. You know, we have really interesting and diverse neighborhoods. You know, Ortega does not look like Orange Park. The beach doesn't look like Riverside. You know, when you're pitching Jacksonville to a newcomer, someone who, you know, might have a number of cities that are vying for that business, how is it that you're positioning our city, and is that kind of diversity an opportunity, or how do you play off that?
I do pitch us from a diversity standpoint. I say, look, we're a 7-county region, and water connects us, whether it's a tributary, whether it's a creek, whether it's an actual river, the ocean itself. When you look at the various different 7 counties of Northeast Florida, the water runs through there. So we pitch that from a standpoint. We also pitch, look, we've got some of the best school systems in the entire state right here in the Northeast Florida region. 5 of your top 25 school districts in the entire state of Florida reside within Northeast Florida. 3 of the top 10 school districts are in Northeast Florida itself. So when I talk to a CEO or representatives from a company, we're saying, look, if you care about your employees and care about their families, Northeast Florida is where you really want to be. You can get anywhere you want from a traffic standpoint in under 27 minutes. You can't say that about some of the other metropolises located in the state of Florida, as well as even in the Southeast. If you like golf, it's great. If you like fishing, it's great. If you like a rural lifestyle, we got it. If you like hunting, you can do that equally as well here. We basically cover the gamut in terms of what you can do here in Northeast Florida. So that's our pitch.
And it must strike a chord. I guess that's kind of a rare offer, isn't it?
It truly is. When we're sitting down with them, we understand some of the things that's on the CEO's mind. We talk talent. Hey, look, you can find the talent here in Northeast Florida. Once we get through the talent conversation, reduction in their operating costs and where they currently are located, and then coming to Northeast Florida and saying, look, you're going to have a cheaper, lower operating cost. So when the company looks at it, they can get their talent, and then they can also lower their operating costs. We become very attractive from that standpoint. And zero taxes from a state income tax standpoint. So that's very appealing also.
I'm sure the eyes light up.
Absolutely.
Andre, another thing that you mentioned in your previous response was the school system. And I know that JAX USA Partnership's very focused on integrating more closely with our school systems, you know, from a business opportunity. And talking with some of your team ahead of this interview, why don't you share with our audience a little bit more about what that collaboration looks like and why you're pursuing that sort of approach?
It's about the future. And because I firmly know, my wife's a principal of a junior high, so I clearly know the advantages of getting in and having, you know, the junior high students understand what's the economic ecosystem in the actual region, starting preparing them for career pathways in the junior high. What we want to also do is make sure that we keep that talent in the region. Let them know about the actual jobs in the region itself. So when they do go off to college, when they do choose their career pathways, they know that there's opportunities here. So we're partnering with all of the school districts, but we also partner with our secondary, post-secondary schools. FSCJ, St. John's State River College, Kaiser University, Jacksonville University, University of North Florida, Flagler College. We partner with all those particular schools because, number one, we want to make sure that we produce the best talent for the region and we keep the talent here. That feeds our economic ecosystem.
Is there a particular example of a business that you could cite that has a really strong relationship with maybe a university or a high school?
I would say you can either look at, Macquarie Financial Services. Macquarie has a very good relationship with JU from a training standpoint, hiring their particular students. When you look at a number of different companies across the actual region, UNF provides a lot of their talent. So I would say JU, UNF has very good relationships with almost all of the companies here in the region.
And is there, give me an idea of working with, middle school students. Let's face it, there's a lot of financial literacy and awareness that probably hasn't even been introduced at that age. So is that something that your team is trying to tackle through the businesses? What might that look like?
It's a relationship. So if you look at Citigroup that's located here, Citigroup has a very good training program that they've embedded into the St. John's County school system at the middle school level. What they're doing is training people in STEM, and then those particular training programs follow them from junior high all the way up to high school. And when those particular students are finished with high school and having gone through a curriculum written by people that work for Citigroup here, those individuals get into some of the best colleges in the United States, as well as here in the state of Florida.
That's phenomenal.
Absolutely.
I wasn't aware of that. Yeah,
absolutely.
So is that something, that must be part of your pitch, really, to these companies?
It is part of our pitch, but it's, I have to give Citigroup 100% credit. A good friend of mine, Nick Patel, who's there, who's head of cybersecurity for them. We were in Leadership Florida together. It's been Nick's baby, that particular project. And now that he's one of the trustees for UNF, it's what we talk about in terms of how do we move that particular program that he has from junior high, now making sure that it gets embedded at the university level. And those are great conversations for us to have. President Koss, President Samaski, they're very good partners, as well as Dr. Avendano at FSCJ and President Pickens at St. John's River College, as well as Lisa Marie Winslow at Kaiser. They're all great partners of ours.
So not only are you making these students, really giving them a leg up over other kids who are applying to school, but you're also anchoring them in Jacksonville as a future, place for them to start a career. And how exciting for that.
Absolutely. Again, I don't want to see our brightest and best talented students from some of the best school districts in our region, as well as the state, leave, go off to college, and decide not to come back home. We have great employment opportunities for them here. That's why introducing what we do to them at a young age, again, allows the companies an opportunity to build an internship pipeline, because that's what you want to do, is get the students here during the summers, and then they decide to stay. That's how these companies continuously grow, and that's how we're growing our talent pipeline as well.
That's pretty brilliant. And I love the fact that you're starting as early as you are. You're not waiting until ideas or perceptions might have been kind of solidified. You're hitting them when they're still really, young and willing to listen to some really fascinating people like folks from Citibank or wherever else.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Great idea. I love that. Another connected sort of thought around that, Andre, I'd love your thought. There's so much new technology that's entering into the workforce. We interviewed Cutler Knupp with Haskell. He's the director of Disrupt Tech, and he was episode 10, I believe, talking about how artificial intelligence is going to really just be drastically changing the job site, the construction site of the future. What is it that you're looking at employers or looking at our city and our potential to prepare our workforce to really adopt this kind of new technology so that we're really ready and able to put, those tools to work for us?
So here's what we did late last year, is we had a conversation from the private sector, the employers, with education. And what I asked the educators to do is the following. We're going to have an hour meeting. And for the first 45 minutes, we're going to let the employers talk, because we really need the educators to understand what the employers are looking for, how students need to be trained for the workforce today and for the future. So many times I've been in different cities where, and it's no offense to academia, But I need the employers to lead this particular conversation, because that's how the individuals are going to be employed. They know exactly what they need, and they need the training presented in a way that allows them to hire the actual students. So those are the ways that we're embedding that information into the actual students itself, and that has been very successful for us.
So it sounds like you've really closed that loop. You know, you've kind of bridged the gap that might have existed between what academia is teaching and what students need to be hired into the workforce. And it sounds like you're really making that connection at the time that it really will have the most impact.
The connection is there. Still much work to be done. But the first part was getting the conversation going. And I'm very happy the conversation is taking place.
Can you give me some ideas of, you know, what are some of the outcomes from that conversation?
Outcomes are, again, that's where companies now are partnering up with various different colleges about, hey, here are our needs. And now the colleges are looking at how can we deliver the talent for the various different companies.
Not only are the students excited to have that, the parents of those students are excited Absolutely. For those conversations.
Absolutely, because I've said time and time again, you want your children to come back home. Because as you age and they have children and you have grandchildren, you want your children in the actual region itself so you can actually see your grandkids as you age.
Absolutely. All right, Andre, I kind of want to, you know, take a step out, you know, from the deep dive of your day to day and what Sure. you're here to do, and really look at you as a leader and the roles that you've had in city governments and you know, corporations, wherever you've been. You have to be very influential, and you have to create a vision and have people buy into that vision. You know, how is it that you're so successful in this way? Do you have a certain process that you follow, or what would you say is instrumental to bringing people along and seeing your vision actually gets executed?
When I take on any particular challenge, I come in and understand what their ecosystem is, how they're operating. I understand the strengths and weaknesses of everyone on the team. Then we collectively build a vision together. I want everyone to understand that, hey, look, here's where you sit on the bus. Everyone needs to understand what they do to make sure that from a GPS navigation system that we get to where we need to be from a goals achievement standpoint. It's very participatory. Everyone understands. Ask the questions. Because if you don't understand, then we're not going to be successful from a team standpoint. It's all about team. I hear the comment about, you know, Andre, you're successful and things of that nature. No, I say we are successful. We, it's not just me. And I'm only as good as the entire team itself. So that's the first thing, is getting the team buy-in. Once we're able to do that, everyone knows me for 51 years know that I'm a very competitive person. So I do not believe in losing. So I want to make sure that we win as much as we possibly can. If we don't win, then we assess why we did not. I think that's much important in this environment. Why were you not successful? What changes do you need to make? I'm all about change, because that's the disruption. If you disrupt what you were doing wrong, then you have the propensity to get it right. So we're consistently talking about change at our organization.
How is it that you help folks who are afraid of change? Not everyone is dynamic and looking for, you know, that competitive edge. They might fear something that's going to be completely fundamentally different to how they've done their job before or something. So how do you help those folks kind of overcome that fear and join the charge ahead?
I tell everyone that at some particular point in time in anyone's life, you failed at something. Failure is okay. It's how you get up and how you move forward. So don't be afraid to fail. Don't be afraid to fall down. We're all going to do it. But the critical thing is to analyze why you failed. Mm. And then together we move forward. I think when people recognize that they're in this together with others, then they're less afraid. And that's how I've actually worked with people in companies.
So it gets back to that team and that collaboration. But to me, the first thing you said, it sounded like you start with listening.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm one of the best listeners. My wife will probably tell you, you're so quiet. It's not that I'm quiet. It's that I'm listening intently. Because I'm a firm believer that people will tell you exactly what they want you to know if you listen. And if you listen intently, you can figure out what the roadmap is to deliver upon the outcome that they're looking for.
Have you modeled this way of leading from other people you've known in your own life?
Absolutely. I've had a number of different mentors from the age of 22 on. And you take the good and you leave the bad. And so there's been numerous different people that have helped me along the way. And I try to pay it forward equally as well.
That's awesome. Love that. Yes. All right. Well, let's finish with, you know, a question around, you know, your vision for the future of Jacksonville. Where do you think we can be 10 years from now?
Right now, where we are in time, if I look at some other cities that I've worked in, we're right at that cusp of being the next great city. I feel like we're a good city right now. We have the opportunity to be even better than we are. Right now, if I look at us from 10 years from now, I would hope that we have one of the best innovative ecosystems in the entire country, particularly from a smart region standpoint. I want to continuously be a leader in the financial services, fintech services space, medical, biomedical. I want to be a leader in that. Logistics, transportation, continuously being a leader. Advanced manufacturing, all of the service industries that we go after, want to continuously be number one from a leader in those particular sectors.
I have to rewind you a little bit. You mentioned smart city.
Sure.
I know that you're an expert in this space. Can you kind of give us an idea of what a smart city is and where that might happen in Jacksonville?
From a smart city standpoint, I won't say necessarily an expert in it. However, I've dealt with, helped build a number of different cities and downtowns. It's where innovation and people cross from a technology standpoint. And what I envision for our downtown in Jacksonville and for the actual region is that downtown can be that hub from a connectivity standpoint into the innovative ecosystem. And then you have it spur out to whether it's St. Augustine, whether it's Palatka, whether it's Fleming Island, whether it's McClinney, whether it's Fernandina Beach. You name it from that standpoint, where there's other areas that tie into the innovative ecosystem itself, where we're then saying, hey, look, we're spinning off companies here in Jacksonville, and there's companies that are also being spent off in the Nocatee, Ponte Vedra area equally as well. I want to make sure that we tie the venture capital that I believe that is in Northeast Florida to our innovative ecosystem. You know, much akin to what Austin, Texas did. Look, they had a system where they said, we're going to create our own businesses. And then if Google and Microsoft decide to come, that's perfectly fine. But that wasn't what their real focus was. It was all about creating their own. I want to make sure that in Jacksonville, we're galvanizing and creating our own businesses while we continuously go out and recruit other businesses into the actual region. That's going to make us a much more diverse, strong economic region. I firmly believe that of the regions within the state of Florida, we're the most diverse economic region than any other particular city, MSA area in the entire state of Florida. And I want to maintain that.
I think that's fascinating. So it's both an organic growth of our own innovative systems, but then also attracting in those companies that are going to complement what we're building here.
Right. We've done a very good job at JAXUSA for the last 24 years of attracting companies here. Well over 100,000 jobs, over $6 billion of investment over a 24-year time frame. Things are changing. When you look at the talent that's graduating now, they don't necessarily see themselves in always large corporations. They like to be in smaller environments. They want to know, again, what I talked about. How do they fit on the bus? How do they participate in some of the decision-making that's going on with the growth of the companies? Again, when you're growing organically that way, you're going to be able to fill those particular jobs with those particular students that are graduating from your educational ecosystem. At the same time, we have 3,000 military personnel that discharges every year. We can bring in advanced manufacturing companies, and nobody's trained better than someone from the military for advanced manufacturing jobs, as well as logistics jobs. Nobody's trained better than the military for cybersecurity. Those are particular jobs that we continuously can bring those companies in, as well as have that personnel fill those particular jobs equally as well. But we also have to make sure that we have a career pathway system that's for everyone, not just the high wage paying jobs, but there's also people that are working jobs, multiple jobs that need to get them into career pathways. And I see a logical transition for them into the medical field. Listen, that's almost a recession-proof industry from the medical standpoint. Hospital administrators will tell you that that's not going to go away. So I see people being able to move into that. When you got a Mayo here, you have an MD Anderson connected with Baptist Ascension. HCA is in the marketplace. We have very good healthcare providers, and we need to have people move into those particular industries as well.
I'd love to hear you say that because, of course, Forcura is in the health space, and we see the aging population, and more people want to be aging at home.
Yes.
And the services and the hands-on, you know, sort of workforce that that requires, you're absolutely right. That's not going anywhere. If anything, we don't have enough people entering that field. So I'd like to hear that that's very much part of your focus.
Right, because artificial intelligence will force people out of what I'll call the some day-to-day jobs, but artificial intelligence won't take away the need for that personalized care in the actual healthcare industry. And that's where I see a great transition that people can move in that particular direction.
Absolutely. So again, what you're doing in your role, you're really taking that 36,000 foot view of our city and all of the different rich aspects that we've got. So it's the 3,000 military that's being discharged every year. It's the up and coming, you know, best students coming in through the best school systems. You know, it's that organic growth of industry, but it's also attracting that new complementary industry to round it all out. So you're really putting all the pieces together.
Right, and that's why it's important to have the relationship with an FSCJ or St. John's River College, because there are people that have gone through our educational system that may not have got the training that they needed at that particular point in time. Life circumstances prevented them from doing so. So they're working numerous different jobs. However, if we can find a way to show them a career pathway today that leads them to meaningful, gainful employment, then they will then have the opportunities to spend more time with their children as they're raising them and giving them the children the advice that you need to prepare for career pathways. Like ViStar may have a financial services program at your particular school. You may want to get into that. Again, getting the parent in a position that they have a meaningful career pathway and having that conversation with their children, and their children then see, hey, this is what my mother's doing. This is what my father's doing. I need to do the same thing.
It's generational.
Absolutely.
And yeah, absolutely. So what you're starting is with, you know, the generation that's maybe workforce ready, but you're also talking about the future generation and how you can instill, you know, those business practices, the talents that are necessary. Really, what you're doing, it's an equity that you're enabling.
It is equity, and it's holistic.
Yeah,
you know, it's you know, in the military they say, you know, leave no man behind. You know, I want to make sure that we leave no one behind within the actual region. I want to make sure that we do a darn good job to make sure that everyone has a career pathway. That's a successful measure for us. How many people are we getting into great career pathways of their choice? Not everyone has to go to a four-year institution. I want to make sure that's clear. But there are training programs, cybersecurity programs, you know, people can get into and get meaningful employment, $65,000, $70,000 a year. If you get two parents making that, that is a household income of over $140,000.
It's stability.
Absolutely.
Right.
That changes a family's outlook. And so we have to get those conversations started. That's why, from a team standpoint, we're having the relationship with the educators and understanding what the employers are looking for.
So, Andre, did you come to Jacksonville with this already baked in your mind, or is this something that's, you know, evolved over years, or is it since you're here? I'm just curious to hear about the evolution of that whole, because that is a massive lift.
This goes back to training ground for me, my years in Miami, in terms of working in some of the most troubled communities across the country and recognizing the following. I would have various different training programs, and I can remember people coming to me saying, I got all the training that you provided, but I don't have a job. And I said, okay, I can no longer just have from the workforce development side. I now got to figure out how to help this particular person find the actual employment. You know, I can give anyone all of the management tools that they need, but they're saying, if I don't get access to capital, how can I start this particular business? So I've got to do that equal as well. Or if the person doesn't have shelter, then I got to worry about how to develop multifamily housing or single family housing for that particular person to get into that. So my career is, this job that I have now at Jax USA is a culmination of 25 years of doing various other things that basically saying at the end of the day, it's about the job that allows the people to do the other things that they want to do in life. And that's why I love what I do.
It's obvious. It's very obvious. Yeah. Was there anything else that you wanted to, you know, share with our audience?
I would say the following. Look at Jacksonville. Look at the Northeast Florida region for employment opportunities, for your business opportunities. You will not be disappointed.
Andre Wallace, thank you so much for joining us today. It was great having you on.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure to be here.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Innovate Jax. For show notes and a list of all our episodes, go to Furkura.com/InnovateJax. Know a Jacksonville changemaker who'd make a great podcast guest? We want to hear from you. Message us at InnovateJax@Furkura.com. Thanks for listening.